Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, October 29th, 2024. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Landslide blocking U.S. Highway 95 south of Riggins. Fire in Vancouver, Washington. Ballot drop box may be fear tactic from far right to discredit elections. And candidates for Latah County Commission speak out about housing issue and the problems with trailer courts on KRFP. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho Transportation Department reports a landslide has blocked U.S. Highway 95 about 5 miles south of Riggins. The slide near the Little Salmon River occurred early this afternoon. The Transportation Department is currently telling drivers in the area to expect delays. Republican State Superintendent of Public Instruction Debbie Critchfield said she is supporting the use of a right-wing K-12 supplemental curriculum from PragerU. PragerU, which says it, quote, offers a free alternative to the dominant left-wing ideology in culture, media, and education, unquote, has also partnered with state education leaders in other states, including Montana, Arizona, Oklahoma, Florida, and South Carolina. Critchfield told the Idaho Education News last week the new curriculum will not be in Idaho classrooms immediately and will only be if school boards approve the content. She said her announcement about PragerU is an invitation for school boards to consider it. Right-wing talk show host Dennis Prager co-founded the nonprofit PragerU with millions of dollars in donations from Dan and Ferris Wilkes, billionaire brothers who made their fortune in fracking. The two brothers are controversial in Idaho because they have purchased and locked up thousands of acres of inholding as their own private property, restricting access to the public. The Nation reports PragerU's materials are containing many distortions and misrepresentations. Dennis Prager has been fairly open about his aim to indoctrinate kids into right-wing ideology. His curriculum consists of 5-minute videos, among other materials, and it has been a flop in New Hampshire, Oklahoma, and even in Florida, which is the nation's leader in banning the truth about history and gender fluidity from K-12 schools. In Florida, individual educators can decide whether to use the program, and the Nation reports PragerU materials use in that state may be less than 1% in classrooms. Critchfield told the Idaho Education News she might in the future consider a similar supplemental curriculum with left-wing ideology for Idaho schools if patrons request it. That may be unlikely because of the power of the anti-education lobbying group, the Idaho Freedom Foundation, in the state legislature. The Idaho Freedom Foundation's goal is to dismantle public education, and they have taken to smearing normal education as left-wing indoctrination, especially if it tells the truth about the history of institutional racism and gender issues. Critchfield said, "You will have people that will point their finger to indoctrination on both sides of the fence."
Election Day is 1 week away, and a town hall meeting on Wednesday is aimed at helping people with last-minute questions on how they can cast their ballots in Idaho. AARP Idaho is hosting a meeting online and over the phone with Idaho Secretary of State Phil McGrane, where they can get information on voting. Randy Simon with AARP Idaho says this is a good opportunity for people to ensure they're prepared to vote.
It's important for all Idahoans who are going to vote to have this correct information and to find out where you can cast your ballot, what documents you need in order to cast your ballot, what are the issues on the ballot.
Two statewide measures will appear on the ballot: a constitutional amendment to keep people who are not citizens from voting, and a citizen proposition that would create a top four primary and ranked choice voting system in elections. The town hall starts tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. People can stream it at facebook.com/AARPIdaho or call in at 866-767-0637. Simon says the town hall is a good place to get any lingering questions people might have answered by the top state election official.
There is a lot of information out there right now, and this is a great way to go directly to the source and speak directly to Secretary McGrane, who is in charge of elections and campaign finance.
AARP provides a voter guide for people in Idaho. Idahoans can still register to vote in person through Election Day. They'll need to provide an approved form of identification and proof of residency. For Northern Rockies News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by the Moscow Food Co-op, specializing in food, goods, and programs that nourish and nurture our community. The Moscow Food Co-op is located at 121 East 5th Street. For more information, visit moscowfood.coop, call 882-8537, or find them on Facebook. KRFP is also sponsored by
Tie-Dye Everything, with locally made tie-dyed items, incense, and other accessories. Tie-Dye Everything is located near 6th Street at 527 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, you can find Tie-Dye Everything at tiedye-everything.com.
Oregon Secretary of State LaVon Griffin Velade expressed outrage at any attempt to disrupt the election after incendiary devices started fires in ballot drop boxes in Portland and nearby Vancouver, Washington, in the early morning hours Monday. The fire in the Portland drop box damaged only three ballots because there was a fire suppression system in the box. The fire in the Vancouver drop box destroyed hundreds of ballots. There was a fire suppression system installed in the Vancouver drop box as well, but it did not function properly. The FBI is investigating the incidents. Police say they are also investigating a similar incident at a drop box site earlier this month. Multnomah County Elections Division Director Tim Scott said they have contracted with private security firms to drive around and monitor ballot drop box locations in the Portland area around the clock. The Vancouver drop box was located at Fisher's Landing and was last emptied by Clark County election officials at 11 a.m. Saturday. Election officials say anyone who dropped off ballots at that drop box after that time should contact the county elections office to request a replacement ballot. The Spokesman Review reported Clark County Auditor Greg Kimsey said, "It's heartbreaking. It's a direct attack on democracy." Vancouver is the largest city in Washington's 3rd Congressional District, where one of the closest congressional races in the nation is taking place this year. In that race, incumbent Democrat Marie Glusenkamp-Perez is facing a rematch from far-right Trump extremist Joe Kent, who is a Republican. Glusenkamp-Perez won the 2022 election against Kent by 2,629 votes. Speaking with host Dennis Bernstein of the Pacifica radio program Flashpoints yesterday, independent journalist Greg Palast spoke about the ways various pro-Trump actors, whether inside red state governments or outside of them, have been attempting to discredit the election.
In many states, they virtually eliminated the drop boxes, and now they're making it dangerous for people to even go to those drop boxes. Today, a drop box was firebombed in Arizona. Another was firebombed in Washington State. So they're trying to scare people away from the drop boxes, and it's scary. In fact, I don't recommend anyone go to the drop box. These militias have been showing up, and you'll see this in my film in Vigilantes, Inc. We have pictures of them. These guys showing up in this full military gear with face masks and AR-15s on their shoulders and, armor. And they stand next to drop boxes in Hispanic neighborhoods. And when that isn't scary enough to, would you get out of your car with your family in the car and you're going to drop off your box with these guys with the gun? You're not going to do that. The other thing that they're even doing is the militias are using drones to drop down on Hispanic voters and into their face and take their pictures, try to scare people away. Wow. And so it's just been, I have never seen this level of threat in all the years I've been covering elections. I've never seen such direct violence and threats of violence And I'm very, I mean, these guys are open. If Harris wins, they're locked and loaded. It's really serious.
Pallast said he went to a Trump rally in Georgia yesterday where the biggest selling T-shirt was a MAGA shirt with an assault rifle on it. He said Trump is riling up his base to believe the election will be stolen if Kamala Harris wins, and they would be justified using force if that happened, echoing Trump's statements in March that there will be a bloodbath if Biden wins the election. Pallast suggests voters stay away from drop boxes and take advantage of early voting if their state has it. In Washington, where one of the few ways to vote besides unmanned ballot drop boxes is mail-in ballots postmarked by the day of the election, voters can track the status of their ballots they've already dropped off or mailed in by going to voter.votewa.gov. That's voter.votewa.gov. On last night's KRFP call-in candidates forum for the District 1 Latah County Commission seat, Republican Tony Johnson and Democrat Mark Thorne responded to the question, since the commissioners control the sheriff's department budget, how should the county and law enforcement react if they are called upon to carry out a mass eviction from a trailer court? Here's Tony Johnson, followed by Mark Thorne.
Yeah, I have no idea. I guess it depends on who's evicting them. If we're talking about Syringa, you know, that was a health issue there, and a health department came in, and EPA came in, and shut it down because it was very contaminated out there. I think if I remember right, they were very lenient on letting and how long people could stay. I think you got to take a humanitarian approach to this and serve your public as best you can. But if you are told by EPA or some higher authority that you got to shut this down, your hands are somewhat tied. But like I say, I think if I remember talking to some sheriff or PD people that went out there, they did it on a very humanitarian level.
Right. That was Tony Johnson and now Mark Thorne.
Yeah, I can't imagine a more difficult situation hardly to have to deal with because, as Tony said, it has to be humanitarian. If there's some reason that you know the situation is putting people at risk, then that should be considered. But boy, I'd have to think long and hard on what the reason would be to, you know, because where are people going to go if that's all they can afford to begin with? There's no other options, and we don't need to increase a homeless situation here in Latah County either.
That was Latah County Commission candidate Mark Thorne, preceded by his opponent in this year's election, Tony Johnson. There was a follow-up question regarding the takeover of 6 mobile home parks in the Moscow area, most of which are outside the city limits, which have been purchased by the Port Orchard, Washington-based investment firm Hearst & Son, which has notified residents of the Appaloosa, Abiel, Palouse Hills, Evergreen, Woodland Heights, and Bluebird mobile home parks they will increase lot rents about 50%, with some increases reportedly 75%, and impose new 20-page leases with new rules and fines for violating the rules. The two candidates did not seem familiar with the situation. Here's Mark Thorne, followed by Tony Johnson.
Those mobile home parks, I believe, are in cities, so that's first level is the city. The city's going to have to deal with that, those kind of issues. But I know Kathy LaFortune and the other two commissioners have been working for about a year to try to put together a housing authority, which is basically a board that will be in charge of trying to gather funds to purchase property so that there can be affordable housing built in the area, and not just Moscow, but they're looking also at the other towns in the county. And certainly that's one option, or one thing that's, and I don't know how, you know, what kind of stuff. I know that if the housing authorities develop, the county commissioners have to step back and let them take over.
We'll get back to the Turner Court issue. As far as I know, that's out of our wheelhouse, but I think my advice to these people that are living in these parks that are getting inundated with 75% increase is you're going to have to lawyer up. I think that big of an increase all at once might have some legalities to it. I'm just guessing. I'm not an attorney. But I would encourage you to fight it for one thing, as best you can. Like I say, this is news to me just this evening. Both Mark and I are just kind of sitting there with our jaw dropped that somebody would do this to some people. But a private company owns these parks. I don't have a remedy for you, but I would say if there's somebody in the state that can help you, go seek them out.
That was Republican Latah County Commission candidate Tony Johnson of Viola, preceded by Democrat Mark Thorne, also of Viola. The two are running for the District 1 Latah County Commission seat with a two-year term this election. Johnson and Thorne appeared on a call-in candidates forum last night on KRFP. The districts are for candidate pools only, and all Latah County voters can cast ballots in both commission races on the ballot this year. In the other commission race, incumbent Democratic Commissioner John Bowman is facing Republican Jason Stukes. The winner of that race will serve a four-year term. The third county commissioner, Democrat Tom Lamar, has 2 years remaining in his term.
With the election just a week away, advocates for fair elections in Montana met recently as part of a coalition to highlight efforts to protect voting rights at the state and federal levels. While the group says there has been progress, challenges remain. The event highlighted recent victories in the ongoing struggles to educate voters and ensure transparency at the ballot box. Montana Farmers Union President Walter Schweitzer says no matter a voter's political stripe, it's important for people to vote, but also to advocate for fair and open elections.
This is about showing up for the future of our state. Encourage your neighbors, family, and friends to stay engaged. Don't just vote. Keep pushing for transparency and fairness in our elections. Montana depends on all of us.
Schweitzer was part of a coalition that met recently to highlight progress made toward protecting voting rights. The group cited a Montana Supreme Court decision that struck down laws that would have made remote ballot collection more difficult, for example, which is especially important on Montana's 7 tribal reservations. Tribal advocacy groups have been working to help register Montana's indigenous population to vote and collect their ballots when transportation is a problem for people on tribal lands. Schweitzer says efforts aimed at limiting remote ballot collection damaged the state and nation's democratic process and is exactly the wrong direction for Montana to go.
In recent years, we've seen attempts to erode trust in our democratic institution. It's not just happening far away, it's happening here at home. Efforts to make it harder for Montanans to vote are a direct challenge to our values.
The election's a week from today, although mail-in balloting is already underway in Montana and other states. I'm Mark Moran for Big Sky Connection.
And you're tuned into the KRFP Evening Report on KRFP Moscow Pullman. Far-right extremist and former state legislator Matt Shea of Spokane Valley is demanding the city of Spokane pay him $24 million for the city council's official condemnation of former Mayor Nadine Woodward's decision to join him and touring Christian nationalist Sean Fucht on stage in August 2023, 2 days after the ignition of 2 major wildfires that burned hundreds of homes in Spokane County. Shea said on stage at the time that the 2 fires were connected to the homosexual agenda. Woodward indicated the appearance with Fucht and his Let Us Worship organization was a mistake and denounced Shea, calling him a threat to democracy. On stage August 20th, 2023, Shea placed a hand on then-Mayor Woodward, and Woodward extended her hands forward as Shea called on the crowd to join in prayer. According to the Spokesman Review, Shea said, "I want you to extend your hands right now because we've got an enemy we need to fight, and his name is Satan." The event was a stop on Christian nationalist Sean Fuchs' Kingdom to the Capitol tour. California State University at Chico history professor Sean Schwaller told the Spokesman Review Fuchs is a former Republican candidate for Congress from Redding, California, who found political momentum by creating Let Us Worship, which held large unmasked in-person events before vaccines were available during the early part of the pandemic. Schwaller said he hit the jackpot. He toured the country on that and made millions. Fuchs put out a documentary last year called Super Spreader, The Rise of Let Us Worship. Faith leaders in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, as well as Washington Senate Majority Leader Andy Billig of Spokane, signed a letter in July last year condemning Fuchs and his Kingdom to the Capitol tour as extremist. The letter said Sean Fuchs has spent the last year capitalizing on anti-LGBTQ plus sentiments by railing against Pride Month, even embracing the exclusionary label of Christian nationalist, and declaring that people with his narrow view of Christian theology should make all laws in the United States. The Ramparts report commissioned by the Washington House determined in late 2019 that Shea engaged in domestic terrorism when he organized the armed Malheur National Wildlife Refuge takeover in January 2016, along with anti-government rancher Eamon Bundy of Emmett, Idaho, and current Republican Idaho Representative Heather Scott of Blanchard. According to reporting in the Guardian newspaper, the Spokesman Review, and the Inlander in 2019, while Shea was still a state representative, he was involved in a far-right chat group which advocated violence against Spokane progressives. The report said he was involved with and supported Team Rugged, which has trained youth and young adults for biblical warfare at the Marble community in northeastern Washington, and has admitted authorship of the Biblical Basis for War document, which advocates for killing males who don't follow his views, condemning homosexuality and abortion. A month after Woodward's appearance on stage, the Spokane City Council voted 4-3 to approve a resolution denouncing Woodward's participation in the event. Woodward was in the middle of a close re-election campaign against former state senator Lisa Brown, who eventually won. The Spokesman Review reports Shea's recent claim for damages argues the resolution and individual comments by city council members imply he is a domestic terrorist, despite the fact he has never been charged. The claim says Pastor Shea has never been charged with, much less convicted of, any crime associated with domestic terrorism, political violence, or taking up arms against the United States. Fuchs filed his own claim for damages against the city of Spokane in June, saying the city violated his constitutional right to religious expression and freedom of speech when they denounced Woodward and said, among other things, she had attended an event with, quote, known anti-LGBTQ extremist Sean Fuchs. At the time, Fuchs said he would settle for $2 million. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow Pullman area. It'll be mostly clear tonight with a low of 30, increasing clouds, high 50 tomorrow. Wednesday night, 80% chance of rain, mainly after midnight. Snow level 4,300 feet, low 36, up to a quarter inch of rain possible. And on Thursday, 80% chance of rain, snow level 3,800 feet, high 45. Current temperature is 43 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ, there's a PayPal option, and there's a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. Coming up next is Flashpoints, and then live in the studios, Rude Awakening is on the air, 7:30 to 9:30. Brent Bent is playing music for you, 9:30 to 11 tonight. And we've got Worldwide Hip Hop coming on 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. So stay tuned. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman Community Radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored in part by Hunga Dunga Brewing Company of 333 North Jackson Street in Moscow. Hunga Dunga features live music, special events, fine food, and craft beers at hungadungabrewing.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
KRFP supports progressive values, including multiculturalism and environmentalism.